Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. All this month, of course, we are seeking to prepare your heart for Easter Sunday. Not because it is a once-a-year celebration, because in reality, it is a weekly celebration. Every single Lord's Day when we get together, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ever think about the fact that if you took resurrection out of the Bible, you would have a mutilated, tattered document, devoid of form and without any substance. The resurrection is central to the historic Christian faith. We spend a lot of time on Christmas. Justifiably so. We should celebrate the birth of our Lord. The culmination, however, is resurrection. And for the early Christians, this was the seminal point of their faith. They knew precisely what would happen when they died. Today, we seem rather unsophisticated, quite frankly, when we talk about what happens when we die, and yet the death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. So we ought to know what happens when we die. Are we going to be like Casper the ghost, strumming a harp on a cloud? Is there life after life? More than that, is there life after life after life? What does that even mean? Early Christians knew. Contemporary Christians seem not to know. And therefore, we don't put enough emphasis on living with eternity in mind. Again, that is precisely why I'm offering The Weeping Chamber by Sigmund Brouwer. I wrote the foreword to the book. We have a special CRI edition of the book. But the idea behind this historical novel is to focus on those things that matter for all eternity, to focus your heart ultimately on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which ensures that you too will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Also, along with the Weeping Chamber for your gift all this month, we want to throw in a CD by Sigmund's wife. And she is an incredible recording artist. After winning a Songwriter of the Year Dove Award in 2008, she released an album that was incredibly significant, 5-star critical acclaim. And then she recorded Some Glad Morning. And we want to send you that. Her graceful vocals will create yet another epic event in your mind as you read the book, listen to the CD, and prepare your heart for resurrection, the celebration of Christ's resurrection, the insurance that you too will rise, the very thing that sets Christianity apart from all other religious structures. Christianity never pretends to give us a way to come to peace with the difficulties of life, but it does give us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of Christ's resurrection. Again, the book, you'll enjoy the novel, as well as the CD, Prepare Your Heart for Resurrection, and again, available all this month for your gift. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. By the way, the number to dial to get your question answered, Here's 888 Ask Hank. Nate in San Francisco, California, listening on KDIA. Hi, Nate.
Hi, how are you doing, Reverend Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, I would like to ask a question about John chapter 20 and verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning Jesus after he rose from the grave and appeared to his disciples.
Yes.
And I would like to know, did Thomas actually put his hands to touch Jesus' finger and thrust his hands in his side, as stated?
Yeah, well, we don't actually know because it's not stated. Remember, Jesus did invite Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, put it into my side, stop doubting and believe. And then we're told by Scripture that Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So the Bible actually doesn't answer the question that you asked. We can only speculate. And certainly there are famous paintings that actually point to the notion that Thomas actually touched the side of Jesus Christ.
Okay. And his hands also?
Well, again, we don't know. So it's speculation on our part because Scripture doesn't tell us. But certainly there is there are a lot of people in Christian tradition that think that this is precisely what Thomas did.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Brother Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gladys. She's listening in Matthews, North Carolina. Hi, Gladys.
How you doing? I'm so grateful to be talking to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I want to ask you a question about the Jehovah's Witness. I want to go over to another church, but I don't know about them, and I was studying with them for a while. I want to know, are they really, I don't know, I was a Baptist one time, but I really like the word.
So you want to know about what, Gladys?
The Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, Jehovah's Witnesses, yes. Well, yeah, this is definitely not a Christian religion. It is a cult of Christianity. For example, they believe that Jesus was created by God as the archangel Michael, and then during his earthly sojourn, that Jesus became a mere human being, and then after his crucifixion, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. And they also, of course, deny the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they teach that only 144,000 people make it to heaven. The rest will live apart from Christ on earth. And, of course, there are all kinds of sociological reasons why we would consider them dangerous as well. They have regulations regarding vaccinations and organ transplants and blood transfusions. And therefore, we would say, as I just mentioned, that this is a cult of Christianity, dangerous from both a theological perspective and a sociological perspective. And what we recommend that people do is go to equip.org, get the information necessary so that you can use their deviations as springboards or opportunities to share the truth, the love, the grace that only the Christ of Christianity can bring to the human heart. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tom, Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on Bart Radio. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. Well, as you mentioned, I live in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, and Oral Roberts University is one of the landmarks of the city. And I'm feeling conflicted. I'd like to go there for a business program, but I certainly don't accept the theology that's taught there. And so I just didn't know if it would be a good use of my money to get a good business degree, yet knowing that my tuition and fees and other things like that would be going to support that theology maybe in an indirect way. And I was just wondering if you could help me with any biblical insight into that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fully accredited and certainly regionally accredited, and therefore you can probably get a good education in this field at that university. It is in your particular neck of the woods, and therefore I wouldn't necessarily try to advise you not to go there. I think that you want to look at all the options that are available to you, and that's maybe a very good option for you. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you have to be able to dichotomize between what you're being trained in and the culture of ORU. Although I would say that the culture of ORU is going through a transition. Oral Roberts is no longer among the living. Richard Roberts hasn't stepped foot on the campus in a long period of time. And the culture of the university, I'm sure, is changing and will continue to change. So I wouldn't necessarily say that this would be an option that you have to preclude.
Well, great. That really gives me some good ideas and to work with, and I really appreciate your time.
You got it, Tom. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matt in New Jersey. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Hi.
Hank, I've really been experiencing doubts regarding my salvation lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you could give me advice on that, namely because I don't feel that I'm bearing enough fruits that show that I'm a Christian.
Yes. Well, a couple of things I would say to you. First of all, I'm very glad that you're concerned about these things. We so often as Christians preach about the fact that we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and that is certainly true. But that's not the end of the story. We can't work for our salvation, but we can work from our salvation, and therefore what we do now counts for all eternity. So the first thing I would tell you is this, that the certainty of your everlasting life is not based on your feeling, it's based on Christ's promise, and he cannot lie. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life, will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life eternal. So if you believe, if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you are his and he is yours. But now you do want to consider the fruit that you're bearing. The Apostle Paul makes this very clear by saying you can't build any foundation other than one already laid, and that is Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build either using gold, silver, or costly stones, or you can use wood, hay, and stubble. And he's essentially pointing out in a very graphic way that you can build those things that will last throughout eternal, throughout eternity and bear eternal rewards, or you can simply do nothing, and therefore Paul gives the illustration of escaping a burning building with little more than charred clothes on your back, which is to say you'll have little to show for what you did while on earth, and therefore he's encouraging people to lay up for themselves treasures where they really matter, and that is in eternity rather than simply for our earthly existence. So looking forward to a renewed universe as opposed to the one we are now experiencing. So I think it's good to consider carefully whether you're bearing fruit in your life, but you shouldn't doubt your salvation because Christ promised you that if you hear his words, believe him who sent Jesus Christ, then you have everlasting life. You'll not be condemned. You've crossed over from death to life eternal.
How long do you think it should take somebody who's a true believer to overcome a certain sin that they've been doing habitually, which is, you know?
Well, there's no answer to that question. I mean, some sins are like three braided strands that are very difficult to break. And there are proclivities that people have, besetting sins, and those sins continue to encumber you. And therefore, you should seek help. You should be in a situation where there's accountability and so forth, and perhaps you can break through. But the issue is you care. You're grieved by your sin, and you recognize the truth that is communicated by the Apostle John, that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So I would, there's actually a book written by Joe Dallas. It's a 30-day plan, and it can help you with these kinds of things, at least guide you in the right direction. It's called The Game Plan. I really highly recommend it.
It's
called The Game Plan.
Okay.
The subtitle is The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity.
Okay. I actually have to go now, but I really appreciate you taking my call.
Well, you got it, and I have to go as well, coming up to a break. But what I say about this book is no one understands this subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for the Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity, a resource no man should be without. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And please do remember, this is a ministry supported by gifts through those who do what they do like we do, because truth matters. So please stand with us prayerfully and financially. We need your support right now. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back with more answers.
Where did we come from? What were the origins of life on Earth? At the Christian Research Institute, we believe how you answer the question of origins is such a vital apologetic topic that we are offering a special theme issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring a sneak peek of Hank's forthcoming work, The Creation Answer Book. In his article 10 Urgent Questions and Answers About Origins, Hank answers questions such as, does the fine-tuning of the universe point to a sovereign creator? Did Adam and Eve really exist? And is animal suffering a consequence of Adam's sin? And seven more crucial topics. To receive this sneak peek of the Creation Answer Book, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. This creation theme issue of the Christian Research Journal is available for a donation, so get your copy today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The immutable fact of Christ's resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian faith because it not only vindicates Jesus' claims to deity, it ensures the future bodily resurrection unto eternal life of all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and proclaim Him as Lord. At the Christian Research Institute, we want this Easter to be the most meaningful of your life. Toward that end, we'd like to share with you The Weeping Chamber, Sigmund Brouwer's life-changing work of historical fiction. The Weeping Chamber tells the intensely personal story of the intersection of two lives, Simeon, a person much like you and me, desperately seeking redemption, and Yeshua, who will provide redemption for all. As our thank you for your ministry support this month, we'll send you a special CRI edition of The Weeping Chamber to help prepare your heart for a powerful Easter celebration. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Chris, Edmond, Oklahoma. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering your thoughts on cage fighting or ultimate fighting, if you've ever heard of that.
Sort of. Not real familiar with it. What's your question about it?
I was just wondering your take for Christians to watch something where people can get knocked out pretty badly or submitted on the ground, and there's a lot of injuries that can happen. It's a little more gruesome than boxing or, say, wrestling, but you're basically in a cage, and there's two guys that go in and fight. It's pretty brutal, like I said, but I was just wondering as far as watching or competing, if you're a Christian, what your thoughts would be on that.
Well, it sounds to me a lot like going back to the Colosseums in Rome, where there was bloodlust and people loved to see men fighting all out, and certainly in the Roman context, to the point of death.
Right.
Or see men with animals so that you had to protect yourself and your life from a raging, agitated animal, and is either their life or your life. And again, the bloodletting was a sport that people loved. And I think that this is something that wouldn't be consistent with a Christian ethic. I mean, there's such a thing as entertainment, but this kind of thing, and I have to confess, I haven't seen it, so I'm commenting on something I don't know a lot about.
Sure.
But just in terms of principle, it wouldn't harmonize very well with a Christian worldview.
Okay. Well, is it just the martial arts aspect? I mean, could it be something that you could maybe doctor up and make it a little bit safer, or is it just the fact that you're hitting someone, period, whether you have bigger gloves on or not?
Well, I mean, I think there is a case to be made that boxing can be harmonized within a Christian worldview, but overall, the idea of all-out fighting to the point of maiming or hurting another person it seems to be inconsistent. But again, there are degrees and variations, and that's why I gave you the extreme example in the first century. But you mentioned the martial arts, and that's kind of an interesting question in and of itself, because there are a lot of people who ask questions about the martial arts, such that we actually did an article in the Christian Research Journal on things like Aikido, which is steeped in Eastern mysticism and cannot be divorced from its Eastern underpinning. On the other hand, there's Judo and Jiu-Jitsu, which is very low in the spiritual emphasis and therefore can be divorced from its Eastern underpinnings. Taekwondo, for example, is compatible with Christianity, again, because it can be divorced from its Eastern underpinnings, but there are things like Tai Chi that can't be reconciled with Christianity. So we did an article on on this subject with respect to the martial arts, but also in principle gets into the question that you asked about.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I'll check that out.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Richard in Georgia, listening on the web. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good, good. I have a question here. Something I heard, which I didn't put much stock in, but they were calling, talking about the biblical prophecy, a day is equal to 1 year. And the way they start off, I'll give you a quick background as quickly as I can. They were talking about the beast of Revelation 13 that said he would be free for 42 months. And that was supposed to be, 1260 days, so that's 1260 years. And the basis for that, they went back to Numbers 14:34. It says, according to the number of the days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear the guilt for 40 years. And a similar passage in Ezekiel chapter 4, where, you know, for every day to some, or every year to some, he's supposed to do something for a day. And I didn't see much stock in that because it sounds more like a judgment or a penalty kind of issue rather than a prophecy. However, the Daniel 9:27, the 70 weeks in Daniel 9 seems to have some relevance to the day equal to year principle. And I just want to know what you thought.
Yes, that is true. I mean, the one thing about the principle is that God does not reckon time as we reckon time. And so you cannot literally say a day equals 1,000 years or 1,000 years equals a day. The point is not what people make of it in contemporary Christianity, particularly in the sense of date setting, but the point in general, the principle is that God does not reckon time as we do. In terms of Daniel, there is a historical context in which this was fulfilled, just as there is a historical context in which the prophecy of Jesus Christ was fulfilled, that this generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Context is very significant and important in terms of how you deal with the particular text, the context in which the text is given, the point that is being communicated, whether this is apocalyptic language, whether this is a historical narrative, and so forth. But specifically with respect to Daniel, I lay all of this out sequentially in my book, Under Succession of Nations. The book is called Has God Spoken? But the section's called Succession of Nations, so you can read about it right there. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Andrew, Smyrna, Tennessee. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I was at a Bible study with some coworkers a few weeks ago, and I brought up a prayer request that my wife struggles with insomnia. And then later that day, one of these brothers, just trying to be helpful, suggested self-hypnosis, and he offered to lend me some CDs. And at the time, I just kind of brushed it off because I knew that hypnosis was dangerous, but I didn't have an answer for it, so I didn't want to get into a discussion with him. And I just want to know what you think the Bible says about hypnosis, you know, whether it's for self-hypnosis for sleeping or quitting smoking or, you know, trying to help yourself in some way.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very dangerous not to sleep well. I can tell you that from personal experience. I've had a struggle from time to time with insomnia myself, where I can't turn off my mind, and as a result of that, you end up not getting the proper amount of sleep, and as someone has well said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. So that's a very real and threatening problem as well. There are a lot of ways of dealing with this, and hypnosis may be one, but you have to be very, very careful with this because altered states of consciousness through any kind of occult practice has been documented to have dangerous side effects, everything from depression to detachment to depersonalization, disillusionment, and other serious disorders. So you don't want to go from the frying pan into the fire, have insomnia, and then have depersonalization as a consequence, as a case in point. So I think it's important that you find a way to treat this. And there are a lot of good ways. I don't want to represent a product on the air here, but I personally was very much helped by a product called Zeo, and it's where you put a band on your head at night, and it actually registers whether you're in light sleep, REM sleep, or deep sleep, and so at the end of the night, you find out exactly how much sleep you actually got, as opposed to how much sleep you thought you are getting. And a lot of times when you think you're not sleeping, you're actually in light sleep. Sometimes you can even be in REM sleep. So that in itself becomes something that at least alleviates some of your fear of not being able to sleep. And as a result, you can start getting some better sleep. I know I personally have gone through the transition where I sleep very well now. So there are a lot of different ways in which you can do this, but I would be very careful that you don't take a particular method that causes more problems than you're actually remedying. For example, sleep medications.
We're not interested in pursuing hypnosis. It's more, how do I talk to this brother, you know, who seems to think it's okay?
Well, one of the things that
come at it from biblically.
Yeah, one of the things that can be helpful in this regard is I wrote a whole section on hypnotism in a book called Counterfeit Revival, and I've often thought that makes a nice little booklet in and of itself. And so we developed the section into a booklet, and we have the booklet available as well through the Christian Research Institute. So either the book or the booklet. So it basically explains how altered states of consciousness work, how you can be worked in an altered state of consciousness, and also points out what the attendant problems with this are.
Okay. Well, I'll look that up. Thank you.
You got it. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Once again, I want to remind everybody listening to my voice right now that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We have a team in-house, but we also want a team that consistently supports this ministry through prayer and through their finances. And one of the ways you can do that is joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. When you do, I send you a personalized copy of one of my books. You can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, you can give a one-time gift of $100 or more, and I'll send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you have that particular book, ask for one of my other books, including my latest, Has God Spoken? I'll be happy to personalize that to you, a family member, or a friend. But the reminder is support this ministry. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We're asking you to stand with us again, both prayerfully and financially. And right now, we need your support. We're in a period of deficit spending where we're spending more money for radio and the attendant research and all the things that we do at the Christian Research Institute than we're actually generating through gifts. So we do need your support. Right now would be a great time to send the most generous gift you can to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can do that at the World Wide Web address, equip.org, via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, just pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We will be deeply grateful for whatever you can do to sustain this ministry, again, with your prayers and finances. The safest, most secure way to give, the quickest as well, the World Wide Web, equip.org. Be back in just a moment with more.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies?
The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, or become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial. Where did we come from? What were the origins of life on Earth? At the Christian Research Institute, we believe how you answer the question of origins is such a vital apologetic topic that we're offering a special theme issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring a sneak peek of Hank's forthcoming work, The Creation Answer Book. In his article 10 Urgent Questions and Answers About Origins, Hank answers questions such as, does the fine-tuning of the universe point to a sovereign creator? Did Adam and Eve really exist? And is animal suffering a consequence of Adam's sin? To receive this sneak peek of the Creation Answer Book, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. This creation theme issue of the Christian Research Journal is available for a donation, so get your copy today. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time. When Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Christ's resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian faith. This historical event not only vindicates Jesus' claims to deity, it ensures the future bodily resurrection of all who put their trust in Jesus Christ. To help prepare your heart for Easter, we would like to share with you The Weeping Chamber, a life-changing work of historical fiction by Sigmund Brouwer. The Weeping Chamber will transport you to the heart of ancient Jerusalem during the days leading up to Christ's death with an intensely personal story of the intersection of two lives, Simeon, a person much like you and me, desperately seeking redemption, and Yeshua, who will provide redemption for all. For your donation in support of the outreach ministries of the Christian Research Institute, we'll send you a special CRI edition of The Weeping Chamber. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, we count every gift from God's people as a special blessing. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's newest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, to give you assurance in the reliability of God's Word. In Has God Spoken? Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team or give a gift of $100 or more, you'll receive a personalized edition of Has God Spoken? To donate, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Travis, listening in Tylersville, North Carolina. Hi, Travis.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Yes, I was wondering, I've been listening to your program since I come on that radio, and I was wondering, how do I go about going to class is for apologetics or you know, the type of ministry that you do?
Yeah, good question. Sense. Well, a couple of things I would say. Focus on the main and the plain things. There are three great apologetic issues. The first is the issue of origins. How one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. So the issue of origins is not only an apologetic issue. From my perspective, it is the apologetic issue. The second thing that we have to get straight is resurrection, which is to say that in a Christian worldview, we not only believe in a God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, but a God who condescended to cloak himself in human flesh and live the perfect life which we could never live, died but rose again, and thus he does not stand in a line of peers, and the resurrection is not something that we believe through empty faith, but rather a fulfilled faith that is founded on fact. And then the third great apologetic issue would be demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And that, of course, raises the question of what is your authority? Is it the Book of Mormon, as it would be with Mitt Romney? Is it the Quran, as it would be with a Muslim? Or is the Bible the infallible repository of redemptive revelation? And can you really know? The answer to that question is yes, and that is the third great apologetic issue. So the issue of origins, resurrection, and the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin. I wrote about all three subjects in my book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Resurrection, the second book, and the third, Has God Spoken? Once you master those three, you can answer a host of attendant questions with respect to the defense of the faith as well. There are also some good universities that you can go to that focus on apologetics. Biola has a singular focus in that area as well, so you can go there in terms of formalized study. There are other institutions that are Christian in nature that teach you apologetics as well. So a lot of options that you would have if you want further information in this regard. Let us know. Back to the phone lines. Rich, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Rich.
I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I had the honor of listening to you speak a couple years ago when you were here in Kansas City. I'm a Catholic and have a question about the intercession of saints.
Yes.
Specifically, I teach Sunday school and am honor-bound to teach the traditions of the Catholic Church, and I don't believe that we should be praying to saints. The exception might be Mary. Mary ascended into heaven, and the Hail Mary, the first half of that is biblical. It's from Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with you. Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no qualms with quoting Scripture. The second half has to deal with the intercession of saints. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And I don't have a qualm with that prayer per se, but praying to other saints to then intercede to God, it just doesn't seem logical to me. And then second off, it doesn't seem biblical. And so when I teach my Sunday school class, my statement is our Catholic Church has a tradition of praying to saints to intercede to God. We revere saints. We use their lives as an example for us, but we do not worship saints. We do not worship Mary. We only worship, you know, our triune God. And I just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I just stand in the bleachers and applaud what you said. First of all, because of the eloquence with which you communicate, but secondly, because of the correctness of what you're saying. It is true that the dead may be praying for us, but we are not called to pray for the dead. God is to be the only object of our prayers, and therefore it would be idolatry to pray to anyone other than God. When John, during his earthly sojourn, bowed down to an angel, the angel rebuked him. So there's only one mediator between God and man. We revere the Mother of God, Theotokos. We have a reverence for Mary, and you've correctly communicated from the scriptures that that is a right reverence. But while we certainly could pray that Mary would be praying for us, we shouldn't pray to Mary to intercede for us, because it is important that we recognize that we can go directly into the throne room of grace and call God Abba Father because of Jesus Christ, who mediated on our behalf. And so, again, I would say to be biblically driven would be to communicate that there's only one mediator between God and man. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 or John 10, other verses obviously as well. But through Christ, the point is we have access to the Father, as Paul makes emphatically clear in Ephesians chapter 2. And I think what's cool about what you said, above all, is that you want to be biblically driven. You do want to honor your tradition, but tradition should be subservient to the Word of God. And so what you've done is you've gone to the Scriptures, and I think what you said was, as I said in the prologue to my answer, both eloquent and, I think, correct.
Could I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
So in the Catholic faith, we have other things that I don't necessarily think are correct. You know, you've commented several times on the show where we've got the descended into hell phrase as part of our creed, which
So do we as Protestants.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we quote the Apostles' Creed as well.
I just don't say that portion.
Yeah.
We believe in an ever virginity of Mary, papal infallibility, while the scope of what the Pope can be infallible on is quite limited.
Yeah, ex cathedra.
Yeah. That it's invoked is very minimal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a non-issue, but what are some other things about Catholicism that you would take issue with, or you would have angst about?
Well, I mean, the main thing is I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with Christians when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. So an essential is unity, non-essential is liberty, and all things charity. I certainly, at the point of soteriology, do not hold to Roman Catholic soteriology, although I recognize that officially it's not a crass system of works righteousness, but I still disagree with Roman Catholic soteriology. Also, I would disagree with Roman Catholics when it comes to things like purgatory. I think, drawn to its logical conclusion, it denies the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. I think you're right. As far as the Pope is concerned, if he speaks ex cathedra from the chair, it's a far different thing than when he makes a proclamation otherwise, and a lot of people don't recognize that nuanced distinction. And I think it's important, too, because that's far different than the prophets of the Mormon Church who are producing new revelation. So I think it's important to be very fair in critiquing Roman Catholicism, and oftentimes we are unfair, uncharitable, and fail to recognize that sometimes we too, within Protestant denominations, can say things that, if drawn to their logical conclusion, would deny an essential of the historic Christian faith. So I think charitable communication in these aspects is to be commended. I would love to have this debate in a collegial fashion. I think that even purgatory is oftentimes nuanced and misunderstood, particularly in its present application. I mean, if I look at what the Council of Trent actually said, if anyone, after receiving the grace of justification, guilt is so remitted and the debt of eternal punishment so blotted out that no debt of temporal punishment remains to be discharged, either in this world or in purgatory before the gates of heaven can be opened, let him be anathema. Well, that sounds strong, but you have to understand what anathema meant within that context, and I think that there is a way of having this discussion in a charitable, collegial fashion, as opposed to simply throwing up barriers because of the rhetoric that doesn't lead to a helpful discourse, but rather a harmful discourse.
Thank you, Hank. I'd like to say a quick prayer for you before I go.
Thank you.
Father God, I humbly ask you to bless Mr. Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute. May the Holy Spirit fortify them in times of struggle and inspire them to spread the words of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, my brother, thank you so much for that prayer. That was deeply appreciated. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Jason, Washington, D.C., Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my phone call. I know that time is limited. To make my story short and to the point, my wife and I have been married for about 15 years. We struggled recently in our marriage. I met another woman. I had an affair for over a year. She does not know about this. She suspects. But myself and this other woman, you know, she was married. She has children. I have children. And it was broken off, so we're no longer together. And I have completely changed. My wife and I have a better marriage now than we've ever had. If you would, the affair is, if you would, my skeleton in the closet. You know, I've come to God. I've come to Christ. I repent what I did. Like, you have no idea. But I know that's something that a lot of men and some women struggle with adultery. And for those of us that have come to Christ and that just pray for forgiveness, I mean, what does the Bible say moving forward? I mean, what are we to do? I mean, I can't erase the past, but I've come to forgive myself, and I just want to move forward and be a strong Christian.
Well, good, and that's exactly what you're called to do. Move forward, forget what's past, move into the future. You may have to deal with the past because there are consequences to past sins, but I would make sure that you do that very carefully with the counsel of church members that you can trust within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. But do remember, if you confess your sins, He is faithful, He is just, He will forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you or purify you of all unrighteousness. I hate to have to leave it at that, but we're at the end of the broadcast. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith,
Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym FEAT and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.